Thank you very much, Amanda, for that challenging word. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. We've been singing tonight about doctors. We sang that lovely first hymn, The Great Physician, written by William Hunter, born up in Ballymummy, County Antrim. Lovely hymn. We used Great Physician Now Is Near. Yeah, by the way, he did emigrate to America where he wrote that hymn. But here in Mark chapter 5, if you go down the chapter to verse 26, we have that word, and this lady, she had suffered many things of many physicians. Let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for these messages and song. Lord, we pray now at this time as we look to thy word that we would stop and think, consider our latter end. Lord, not only that we'd stop and think, but that we would be wise. Lord, guide us by thy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people are fascinated with medical stories, medical books. Some people like the novel, some people like the true thing. Of course, news broadcasts often have medical stories in their news items. Waiting lists, have you ever heard news about that? Cleanliness of hospitals, of wards. Sadly, on some occasions, this doctor or that doctor appearing before the British Medical Council or Association, sometimes struck off, license removed for malpractice. And so we know that there are inspections in hospital. And there's so much criteria that they go through to give a grade to a various hospital for its quality of care. Of course, in the end of the day, all hospitals fail, and so do all doctors. Because we all die. We all die. Now, of course, we're thankful for the work in medicine. I know some of you work in the medical field, and we are glad to the Lord that we live in such a day when medicine has advanced so far. Would you have rather lived hundreds of years ago when you read some of the treatments that they had back then? Would you? Would you like to have your tooth out without Novocaine? But I'm serious when I say we ought to thank God for the medical advances that he's allowed us and for the medical help that we have in this country. I know sometimes we joke about doctors and doctor-doctor jokes, but I'll try and resist, although I did hear this story about a doctor. And one night during this cold spell, it was very, very cold, and one of his pipes burst in the middle of the night and water came through on top of the bed and the pipe had burst. And he quickly went to the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and called his plumber. Woke the plumber up and said, I've got an emergency, you have to come quick. He says, what is it? He said, the pipe has burst and it's water pouring down through the ceiling. You need to come out. The plumber said, listen, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Here's what you do. Go up to the tank in the attic, put an aspirin in it and call me in the morning. So he got his own back with a doctor, or the young doctor had just got his license. First time he set up his practice in the wee country town. First patient he came in, he hadn't a clue what was wrong with the patient. Hadn't a clue. He didn't want to admit that he didn't know, so he said, have you ever had this before? Oh yes, I've had it before. Well, you've got it again. Well, we don't want to be too hard on doctors. We're glad for them. But you know, I was reading this week in my own reading through Psalm 103, that says, who healeth all thy diseases. And over in Exodus 15, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And we do believe that it is the Lord who heals, whether through the means of medicine or whether directly he can heal. But tonight I want to think not just about the physical ailments, but the spiritual. Now, of course, it's not the subject tonight, the so-called faith healers today. But just quickly, by the way, remember that Christ's miracles were unique. It was prophesied that Messiah would perform miracles. There are those alive today and they're TV evangelists and large halls where they gather and they claim that they have the same power. But listen, Christ never failed to heal all that came to him. Many of these meetings are people go away worse than they came, because they're told from the pulpit that it's your lack of faith that you're not healed. That's what they're told. And so the person goes back feeling even worse. And when the Lord touched somebody or spoke the word, the person was healed completely, immediately. There was no delay. There was no delay. And the Lord healed organic illnesses. What that means is there was no doubt about it before everybody who witnessed it. It was a literal healing. You don't see that today. You see, those healings were unique. But we know that these healings, physical healings, they were not some power of hypnotism that, of course, accounts for much of what goes on in so-called healing meetings today, the hypnotism of the people, and of course, people, the back doesn't feel pain anymore. Of course, it's obvious that. Any doctor will tell you that power of the mind and the good feeling from a meeting where there's great emotion and music playing again and again. Of course the person feels better. That's how we're made, our mind. But the point I want to make tonight is this. These physical healings of the Lord are obviously pictures. They really happened, but they're pictures and illustrations of the greater spiritual miracles that the Lord can do in a life. He touched the blind. He touched the leper. He touched the deaf. He raised the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ with his mighty power can raise those who are dead in sin, can open the eyes of those who are blinded by sin, can open the ears of those that are deaf by sin, can take away the leprosy of sin, that plague of sin from a life. Last week, of course, we had Chris Killam. The 3 weeks before, we looked at those three characters in Acts 16, how they were healed by the power of the gospel of Christ. And then Chris came along last week, a young man held by the addiction of alcohol and drugs, held by addiction of hate, he and his wife skinheads in a racist gang, held by that hatred. And he told the story of those many operations he had. And then when he had a serious operation, when the Christian doctor, the Christian surgeon, opened a Bible and pointed him to the great physician. And that day in the hospital, Chris Killam found spiritual healing from the great physician. And that healing will last for all eternity. That healing will last for all eternity because the treatment that the Lord gives is a perfect treatment. And there was one commentator some years ago and called this chapter The Hospital for Incurables. The Hospital for Incurables. I want to take that title that he coined, and I was thinking about it. And you can imagine this chapter like a hospital. You imagine that you're going in to inspect a hospital. In fact, I understand there are sometimes programs on television and they would follow a day in the life of such and such a hospital. And they'd show you the wards and they would bring patients and interview them and follow them through their operations and their treatment and so on. Well, let's do that tonight. Let's think of this chapter as a hospital for incurables. And let's see this great physician. This great physician. Three things. The patients that are admitted to this hospital. The patients that are admitted. There's three of them. We looked at them. There's a men's ward. There's a men's ward. You have that in verse 2, that a man came to him. You have a woman's ward. Didn't we point that out? A certain woman, that's verse 25. And there's a pediatric ward, a children's ward. There's a man, there's a woman, there's a child. All in the same chapter. The Holy Spirit takes time. Who's the first one? A man with an unclean spirit. He's held by the power of demons. He is controlled in his thinking, in his desires, in his will. He can't do what he wants. He's under control. Now, in a sense, that's a picture of all of us without the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes you talk to people about trusting the Savior. They say, but I want to be free. Want to run my own life? Nobody can. That's what Chris thought before he was converted. I'll run my own life. You're a slave to sin. A slave to sin. This man is dominated. It tells us here in verse 3, his dwelling was among the tombs. In verse 5, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself. In other words, at night, if you went out at all near with a graveyard, you would hear this man and he's screaming And he's tormented. And here's a man, and he's in this ward, as it were, and he's tormented. Terrible ward to go in and see somebody suffering where they're crying out in pain. This man is crying out with a spiritual pain. But then let's turn to the women's ward in verse 25. A certain woman, she had an issue of blood. She had uncontrollable bleeding. Next verse tells us she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had spent her money. Every doctor she went to, no help. No help. But then you turn to the pediatric ward and you have this young girl in verse 23, my little daughter. Now this is a very solemn ward. You would enter into this ward with great hush. Because while the other two are critically ill, this young girl is terminal. Because you find that she dies. She dies. Oh, look at these three characters. The people that are admitted to this hospital, as it were. A man, a woman, a child, in terrible conditions. You see, in verse 35, news came to Jairus, thy daughter is dead. The patients who are admitted for treatment, three of them. But I want you to think secondly, taking in our mind what it is to look around the hospital. These three patients, think of the physician that is available. It's unusual. There's only one doctor on call. Because you only need one doctor when it's the Lord Jesus Christ as a great physician. And do you notice as you think of these three men, or sorry, these three individuals, the man, the two women, you know what it tells us? A man, a woman, a little girl. That the Lord Jesus Christ is available for anyone and everyone. You think about that, that's tremendous. You see, in Mark 5, he heals a man, he heals a woman, and he raises from the dead a little girl. You see, you go to many a hospital today, and they'll not treat the condition. Wasn't there something on the news, I think last week or the week before, down in Downpatrick Hospital, they're not going to have their A&E. And some people were complaining. So if you went at night, they'd say, sorry, you'll have to go to another hospital. But the Lord Jesus Christ never turns anybody away that comes to him. Or maybe you go to some places and some countries, you don't have enough money. We'll not treat you unless you can pay for it. That's happened in parts of America. Before we'll operate, where's your insurance? Where's your money to pay for the operation? In some countries, as in Colombia, you've heard me speaking about Worth Sant, who started a little clinic there in Bogota. I mentioned her a few weeks ago. Why? Back in the late 40s? Because the hospitals wouldn't treat Protestants. If you left the Roman Catholic Church, the hospital wouldn't treat you. And so there's many reasons that people are turned away. But thank God, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you realize you're sin sick, it says, whosoever will may come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He will treat anyone and everyone who comes to him. And thank God tonight, he can treat you. Now I know when you go to some hospitals, they'll tell you, well, I'm sorry, I can't treat you. I'll send you to another doctor. And you go to him and he says, well, now there's another doctor over here. You need to see him. Or they need to say, I'm a specialist. Or you need to see this specialist. I read recently, and this may discourage you, they estimate there are about 4,000 fields of medicine where you can be specialist in. So they send you to this specialist and that specialist and the other specialist. Well, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is specialist in every field of spiritual disease. Doesn't matter what the problem is. He's able to treat everybody and anybody that come to him. You know, the question is tonight, why is it more people don't come to him? I can't answer that. Except to say that man's heart is hard. But you say something, why won't people come to Christ? You see your friends, and you know that the answer is for them to trust Christ, and we can't drive them, we can't force them to believe. Why will they not come? If you're interested in medical history, you probably know that the first woman doctor in the United States was Elizabeth Blackwell. She graduated in 1851. It was unheard of to have a woman doctor. She couldn't get anybody to come. She tried to get jobs in hospitals. Nobody wanted her. She was a woman. Didn't believe in women doctors. She started a practice in New York, and it took her a long time, because when people found she was wanting to practice medicine, they wouldn't let rooms to her. She finally set up her practice, but nobody would come. Finally, a Quaker woman in great illness, she came and was treated. And these Quakers helped her open a clinic in one of the worst slums. The only place where she thought, well, I'll do some good there. Nobody will come to me. And she went into the slums in New York, and even they wouldn't come. Even the very poorest couldn't afford medical aid. They wouldn't come to her because she was a woman. But then there was one lady who was in such agony and pain that she staggered into Elizabeth Blackwell's surgery. And she was able to treat this poor woman. And the patient who was cured went out and told all her friends. And her practice built up. And that antagonism was taken away. And of course today we think nothing about a woman doctor. Which is good, of course. I mean, you're ill, anybody. What prejudice? I suppose today they call it male chauvinism. Kept sick people away from going to the doctor who could help them. How sad it is there's so many who will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be treated and cured by Him. You know, not only is the Lord available for anyone and everyone, He's available at any and every time. I was talking to a friend in the ministry this week who may need an operation. And he was telling me he was going to have to go private, and some were helping him to get this, see the specialist sooner. But he said, you'll not believe this. I asked him how he was, telephoned him up. He says, you'll not believe this, Ron. We were trying to telephone the secretary of this specialist, and it was engaged. We couldn't get through. We left a message. And while we're waiting, I got a call on my mobile. And it was the secretary of another specialist in the same field saying, your NHS appointment is through. You can now have it on the NHS. And he was all excited that the Lord had given him, he believed this, although he still has to wait 2 weeks. But he's so glad that he can get that fast to see the doctor. Oh, thank God tonight when I thought about that, thought about what he said this week and thinking about this passage. Thank God when you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's always available. You can come to Him right now where you sit. Call upon Him to save you. Call upon Him to deal with whatever the need is. You don't have to wait. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to be put on a waiting list. His ear is always open. Thank God for the physician that's available. For the patients that are admitted. But I want you to think, thirdly, the problems that are addressed in this hospital. The problems that are addressed. I've touched a little bit on them. But he addresses different problems. The man's problem was the power of Satan in his life. And he learned sadly that sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. And how did the Lord cure him? He just spoke the word. Not different than doctors today. He just spoke the word. And this man was completely cured. And then you think of this lady. She had had the disease for a long time. She had gone to this doctor and that doctor and the other doctor and couldn't get a cure. By the way, the great C.H. Spurgeon, I'm not sure if it's on the internet or not, you can read a lot of Spurgeon sermons now through the web, but he preached a famous sermon on the woman with the issue of blood, and he took it this way. This was in my mind when I was thinking of this passage too. he took it as different doctors. And he talked about Dr. Ritual and Dr. Ceremonial and Dr. Sadducee and Dr. Pharisee and Dr. Orthodoxy and so on and so on. And he took each one and showed how they can't cure. He told about the Dr. Ritualist. Just try a little bit of water on your head and all your sins will be taken away. Or you come along to our church so many weeks and your sins will be taken away. Or you say so many prayers and you'll be cured. Or you go to this pilgrimage and that pilgrimage and you'll be cured. And Spurgeon pointed out in the message, how foolish. They're only quacks. They're only quacks. They can't deal with the problem of sin. They can't deal with it. I think of the famous story that's in many illustration books about a man called Carlini. He was a very famous sort of clown humorist in the 1800s throughout Europe, and he went along to see the psychiatrist because he was so depressed, suffered terribly from depression. The man, doctor, hadn't realized who he was talking to. That was his stage name, Carlini. And you know what he finally said to him, the doctor, I'll tell you what you do, lift your spirits. Why don't you go? Carlini's in the town. And he'll really make you laugh if you go and listen to him perform. And he'll lift your spirits and you'll feel a lot better. But the man says, but doctor, I am Carlini. See, the world would say, when you're feeling the guilt of sin, just forget about it and have fun. No. There's only one can cure the sin-sick soul, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't the man to sing to us, water cannot take away the guilt of sin. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. And of course, this girl who was dead, only the Lord Jesus Christ can raise the dead. They say in history that when Cleopatra, who was reputed to be a very beautiful lady, that when she died, not at a very old age, she died, they say that the Egyptians beautified her corpse. As you know, Egyptians would do with the burial and the great pyramids and so on. They say that they beautified the corpse until it looked absolutely stunning. But she was dead. See, a person can turn over a new leaf, can do many good things. But you see, until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still spiritually dead. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give spiritual life. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can regenerate a person. Only Christ. The Lord, the problems that are addressed, he addressed different types of problems. And he addressed those problems that are very, very difficult. Isn't it interesting? And it's amazing that she went to many physicians, was made no better. It says there in verse 26, she grew worse. This lady was getting worse. Back in verse 4, it says, neither could any man tame him. Of the little girl, it says in verse 35, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? In other words, those three cases, every one of them, it was said, they're hopeless. There's nothing anybody can do. I'm sure people said that about Chris Killam. I'm sure his dear mother, who was praying for him those years, often wondered, would the Lord ever save Chris? And these three cases are absolutely hopeless, but thank God what man can't do, the Lord Jesus Christ can do. He can save to the uttermost all that come unto him. If you have a sin problem, bound you, held you captive, the Lord Jesus Christ can set you free as he did this man. Do you feel that weakness spiritually like the woman? The Lord Jesus Christ can set you free. Do you realize that you don't have spiritual life? You may know a lot about religion, but you have no real fellowship with the Lord. You don't really know him. You can't say, he's my Father, he's my Savior, he died for my sins. I know him. Listen, Christ can raise you from that spiritual death tonight and set you gloriously free. This physician can take away the guilt of sin. I just thought there when I was talking to Fergus coming in about, he's a good Scottish name, Fergus. And you know, just across which way? This way is a Belfast lock. You have a town named after Fergus, King of Scotland. You know why it's called the Rock of Fergus? Carrick is rock in the Gaelic in Scotland. I lived there some time ago. That's why we know this and we've been round the castle. Because King Fergus had leprosy. Yes, there was leprosy in Ireland and in Scotland, or what was called leprosy in those days. I don't think it was the same as the Bible definition of leprosy. But anyway, it was called leprosy. And he travelled all the way from Scotland over to our land. Because a low part of the bay is now silted up there at Carrickfergus, the rock came out into the sea, solid rock. And the amazing thing is, although the water came round the three sides, that rock jutting out into Belfast Lough, there's a fresh water well. Still there, the tour Carrickfergus Castle that they let you look down, glass on top of it. There was a fresh water well, even though it was out in the sea of that rock. That's where they built the castle. And it was supposedly a cure for leprosy. And that's why Fergus travelled from Scotland over to our island, supposedly thinking he could drink this water from the well that's still there and he would be cured of his leprosy. I'm not a doctor, the son of a doctor, but I don't think it works. Water from a well. But thank God tonight we can tell you about a well of salvation. You can come and drink at that life-giving fountain. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on Calvary, he took the curse of sin. That's why he's the great physician. He took the plague of sin. And there on the cross, all that curse of sin that was ours because of the fall and because of our individual sins, sinners by nature, sinners by practice. There in Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took our sin. You know, if you read medical history, there's amazing stories of the bravery of doctors who, in some cases, have given their very life to treat patients in times of plagues. I'm thinking back before we had the modern vaccinations and treatments and so on. There are doctors who not only risked their life, but gave their very physical life to go in and help people who were dying of certain plagues, typhoid and yellow fever and smallpox years ago. Gave their very lives. But you know, our great physician, he gave his very life on Calvary. You see, the disease of sin, when it finished, it brings forth eternal separation from God in the place called hell. But there in Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took our hell. He suffered the plague of sin. And he paid the debt. And he rose again from the dead. And he's the conqueror. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And that's why tonight, if you come to him, he can apply the precious blood of his atonement. And the blood of Christ takes away all sin. You can be born again tonight. You can be saved. You can be washed clean. You know, in the Bible, it's interesting. The leper, it always said of the leper, when he was cured, he was cleansed. That's the terminology always used. You can be cleansed tonight. Do you feel the guilt of sin? That guilt can be washed away tonight. You can be made whole. You know, you laugh sometimes when you see these adverts for different medicines. Maybe there's an advert of somebody and they're, oh, terrible hay fever and allergy with the grain and the flowers and so on. And you take this antihistamine tablet and you buy it. And now there's somebody just running through all the long grass and the flowers and they're not sneezing at all. or some medicine for arthritis in their heart, and then they take this tablet and now they're running along. And then you read the small print, can cause drowsiness, headaches, itching, allergy. And you say to yourself, if I take this medicine, it'll be worse than when I started. Do you ever notice that with medicine? Maybe you just don't bother reading the side effects. And I have to be honest tonight. I must be honest in preaching about Christ as the great physician. When he comes to give you the cure for sin, there are side effects. I have to be honest, there are. You know what the side effects are? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passeth understanding. A home in heaven for all eternity. Those are some of the effects of being cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. Pardon from sin. Have you ever come to Christ as the great physician of your soul? Have you? Thank God he's available to treat anyone and everyone who comes. And thank God he can treat any and every condition. And that's why in services like this, we point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him tonight. Let's sing together.